Hey there, and welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast, the show designed to teach you how to sell, how to build systems, create strategy, and of course, how to become a marketing genius. What's up, everybody? Grant Weiss here. Welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast. I am so excited today to be joined by Miss Julie Youngblood, who is, I've just learned, a mom, a realtor, a CrossFitter, a real estate coach, and just everything in between. And seems like a bunch of fun. So I think that's what we're going to try to have this episode. Julie, thanks for stopping by.
It is my pleasure.
Well, tell us about yourself. Who are you? How'd you get to where you are today?
So I'll give you the, I do love to talk about myself, though I'll give you the condensed version. Got out of high school, didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up. So I went to real estate school. I was 17, took me 7 times to pass the test. Good news is that doesn't mean much. The test anyways. Fast forward several years later, I'm on year 19. So been selling real estate, born and raised in Vegas. That's where I've built my career. For the last 19 years, started coaching right after, you know, our market was hit pretty hard. Fortunately or unfortunately, right? There's always a lot of opportunity when that happens. And when that happened, what I discovered was I didn't love being a slave to the REO portal. Although I had REO accounts and I worked on a team where we had hundreds and hundreds of listings, I just didn't enjoy the login, fill in the blank, drive over to the house, take the picture, flush. I didn't love that piece of it. So I started a coaching business that was focused on new agents getting into the market. And I actually leveraged an REO team for their sign calls. They were getting hundreds and hundreds. And so I fed this coaching program, taught them how to work the business. And then that's really evolved over the last 10 years. I also do still sell real estate with my husband, who's awesome, also a CrossFitter. And that's where we are today.
That is awesome. So you got hung up in the recession just a little bit. Vegas had some interesting stuff going on there in the recession.
Yeah, it was.
Some of the people I talked to.
You know, it was just, it was like, we went from like 18,000 realtors in the city down to right around 6,000.
Oh man, if you could only go back to those days.
Well, I don't know. I feel like we might be onto something. I don't know if it'll crash as quickly and as hard. I think people are just generally speaking a little more timid, although we're in the mail. There's more realtors than that we know what to do with. So, you know, I mean, we're at the end, you know, we're at the, what are we, 12 years into the rebuild? I mean, what's the cycle of a real estate market? It's not 12, it's about 7. So I'll tell you, year over year, our inventory's doubled. So if that doesn't tell you that things are shifting, I don't know what you're looking at, but it's definitely shifting.
So. Right. It's really interesting to see what the numbers are doing in each market. Like, excuse me, I have a lot of clients over in Miami, for example, and we were talking about numbers in New York and other places. Like, if you look at the data, we don't see a recession. We see really strong, healthy numbers, and take that for whatever it is, right? Some markets are different for sure. I think that whatever the government decides to do with the Dodd-Frank Act, if they ever do anything with it, we'll probably have a lot of I think it'll be steering the market one way or another. And then you got interest rates that have stalled out based on what the Fed decided to do. So I don't know. It's definitely really interesting. The entire real estate industry right now is in a very interesting place.
Yeah, I would agree 100%.
What is your take on it?
Oh boy. So
I can't, yeah. I hope that you know that I can't, like, I intend to get you all fired up because you seem like you get fired up.
Fired up.
So let's make it happen.
I've got some feelings, you know, I got feelings. I got feelings about this. I find it's interesting. If I can just speak to my fellow realtor for a minute, I find it fascinating that realtors constantly gripe about staying at the center of the transaction, and yet they pay for all sorts of systems that consistently push them out of the center of the transaction. We look to leverage our best asset, which is our relationship, and yet we wonder why there's a downward pressure on commission. we pay lots of money for tools that we don't use, and then we gripe that the leads suck. Well, if the leads were better, if it was like, here you go, here's a contract, it would be a lot more expensive. And by the way, when some of these companies figure out how to do that with our help, might I add, we're paying them to help them build their empire to fight against us. If they figure that out, they don't need us anymore. And so I'm always fascinated at the mindset of the real estate agent who, I mean, we're our own worst enemy, really. So it's like, get on the phone, call your sphere of influence, talk to the people that know, love, and trust you, go take back your people. Stop griping about all of the things you can't control. Like the ship has sailed. So get back to basics. That's how I feel about real estate. I've always felt that way. And it's funny, I look at the opportunity for financial gain that we have in this business, and it's truly astronomical, right? Like, where else can you go really work your ass off, excuse my French, for 2 or 3 hours a day talking to strangers and make a multiple six-figure income? Where else can you do that? And you guys are complaining about work, like, oh, it's too much work. Like, get out of here, dude. It's like 2 hours of get better at your job, talk to strangers, be likable, and go cash some checks.
I always told people that, like, I grew up, here in Northwest Arkansas, we have a ton of farms, obviously. And I grew up working farms and patching fence and hauling hay and working with horses and digging holes and ditches. It's like, I know if you want to see what hard work is, I can show you what hard work is. My wife always jokes with me because I have, it's kind of like embarrassing to admit, I guess, but I have softer hands. Like when I was doing CrossFit, they got pretty calloused up, but I haven't been doing as much because of the shoulder thing that I was telling you about. And so I have softer hands. And she's like, you need to go do something to like rough your hands up a little bit. And I'm like, look, I did a lot of stuff to rough my hands up when I was young, and I just don't want to rough them up anymore. I understand what hard work is. And yeah. I agree, real estate is not hard work. It's work, which is a dirty word, apparently, but it's definitely, definitely, definitely not hard work. And I think that some people could listen to us chat right now and say, well, they don't know what my day's like. I think that a lot of the hard days that some real estate agents have is self-induced. Do you think?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Because, and if you're listening to this, it's not like, hey, we were both sitting here talking and we think that you are terrible at your job. But what we probably both agree on is that you don't maybe understand how to implement the right systems to give yourself the freedom to not have to work so hard or to stress so hard. Probably more is the right thing to say. But I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, I feel like people watch HGTV and they think that what we do is easy, or they have a realtor represent them in a transaction and they think they found the house because they found it on Zillow or, you know, Redfin or whatever they're called. They found them on one of those sites and they think they did the work. What they don't see before they get into the business is thousands and thousands of phone calls or door knocks or flyers or whatever we did to find them. And so I just think that there's just generally speaking a huge misconception around what it really looks like to be successful in real estate. And it's not showing pretty houses. And I agree. I think that you're one system away or one habit away from a massive breakthrough. I always find it fascinating when people look at successful people and they're like, oh, well, if I had it like they had it, like, hey, they're just as like, they've got the same 24 hours. They've been in your space at some point, like just get it together or get out. Right. That's kind of, I don't sound like a very nice person. The only, like, I love our business. It's the only way that I truly know how to provide for my family. And I get a little chapped when people want to use this as, they want to try real estate. Like you either.
Yeah, I don't really like that. And I've laughed about this a few times. I think that brokers are in a large part to blame for the mindset that exists in real estate. Not every broker, because I've met some outstanding brokers, but I've met some number pushing brokers that just want people in that will say, basically, you go get your license and that Mercedes that I'm driving is going to be your Mercedes. Like that's just how easy it is to make money in real estate. And I think that culture was and has been ingrained in the last several generations of real estate agents because brokers have pushed the mindset that if you just go get your license, you're going to be massively successful. So I definitely understand where you're coming from 1,000%. And I had a second point, but I don't remember what it was.
Well, I also think it's important to recognize that the brokerage game is a different game. It's a headcount game.
Absolutely. But that's not what people are sold. That's not what people.
Right. Yeah. Of course not. Well, if they were sold that, then.
The next point that I was going to make is I was interviewing somebody else, and he said, you know, it was really funny. My sister moved into my house, my wife and I's house, whenever I, back when he got his real estate license. And he said, we both started school on the same day. And in 2 weeks, I had a license to help sell somebody the largest investment they would ever make. And in a year and a half, she had a license to cut my hair. And so it's like...
And she had hours and hours of practice.
And she had 8 hours a day of practice to learn that stuff. So I do think that it's very silly. And I don't think that it, I mean, if you look at a company like NAR, that's a business that gets paid on subscription, basically, you know, they're not changing up their business model anytime soon. So we definitely both probably sound like some ranting children right now that are just upset about the world. But so let's, maybe we should shift the conversation back to,
CrossFit.
Yeah. Let's talk about, anything else, I guess. So what did you learn? What was your greatest takeaway from going through a recession and really just evolving yourself?
Oh man. I would say this was a lesson I learned very early on, and that was, it's always about being learning based. And I started pretty early on identifying, and it's so cliche, right? You read a book and then you're like, I'm going to do it. And then it works. Identifying five people that I want to, think like, that I want to drive their cars. I want to live that lifestyle. I want a relationship like they have. I would identify five people and I write them on the board, and then I just run. I run towards them. Right. And so staying learning based, and also, being ready to be pushed away from them. Cause remember, as I'm running towards them, they're running away from me. Right.
Yes. Yes.
So I think I've gotten really good at that. And I'm always looking at the bridge, like who will this person connect me to? And so even in a market that when it's doing that, that there's still opportunity there. And then as silly as it sounds, I practice my scripts every day. And in a market where people's hair is on fire, when you know the language, when you study the market, and I closed the back door, right? I wasn't going anywhere else. What was I going to do? Right? I had no other professional anything to fall back on. And so I was just 100% committed, and I got better at my job every day. I practiced my scripts, and I hit the phones. I mean, that's what you do.
So something worked and you learned. Yeah.
I worked and I learned. I mean, that's what you have to do that every day, right? When the market's great, work and learn, because one day the market will shift.
Mm-hmm.
They say that around 70% of the people that are in the real estate market right now have never experienced a shift.
That's exciting.
70% of the realtors out there right now have never experienced a shift. And so I can feel it, and you probably can too, because our listings are sitting on the market a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
When you take a listing and it doesn't sell in 3 hours, and you don't have the skill set developed to take care of that and to handle that and to navigate the waters with your clients, it's scary. And so that I think that the best thing you can do now, if you really want to get ahead of things, is get really, really amazing at price adjustment scripts. Learn how to navigate the waters with your clients. Learn how to set the table the right way. Let your buyers know, have open conversations about the market. I think that that's our job. And the more you do that, you set an appointment with yourself every week to stay intimately connected to your localized market, I think the better you do long term.
So you made a comment a second ago. You said when listings don't sell, in 3 hours and you're not properly equipped, leads me to a question that I have about marketing. How important do you think it is to understand how to market yourself, your business, your brand in the real estate profession?
Well, I think that depends on who you're looking to market to. So, there's different segments of people in your world. So if I look at, I can tell you that of the agents that I coach all over the country, 99% of them, their largest source of business is going to be their sphere of influence. So how are we marketing and connecting with our sphere is a lot different than the way that we're going to do Facebook ads or pay-per-click, right? So is that what you're referring to? Like, how do you connect with people out there?
I think there's a relational aspect of it, but, you know, sticking with your point, you know, your sphere of influence is largely who a lot of your clients are doing the business with. How do you expand past that? How do you grow past that? What ways, maybe if we're talking about having the marketing conversation, like how do you carry on past just the people that you know?
Yeah, so that's fantastic. So you pick a couple of different ways that put you in front of strangers, right? I mean, not to get overly basic, but open houses is a great way to do it. Just be the best open house agent in town. Be the agent that puts out 50 signs. Be the agent that calls 1,000 people around the neighborhood. Be the agent that door knocks. Be the agent that slays open houses, and then have a focus, right? The goal of the open house is 20 people to come through and two deals to be made. It's not, we're not sitting there getting punished for 2 hours or 3 hours. It's, we've got a plan, right?
Right. I think that a lot of people can be like, well, I hate open houses. Like, well, how many people come to your open houses? Like, nobody ate my cookies
in
my
people. Hey, by the way, the magic of open houses is all done in the pre-work.
Absolutely. If you don't get anybody to show up, then you did waste your time. But if you're, you know, running these mega open houses, you got 50 to 100 people walking through, you're doing work.
You're killing it. As a matter of fact, I feel like if I have to direct traffic at an open house, I'm doing a good job.
Yeah.
That has happened before. And that's really fun. So it's like pick something and just systematize it, track it, and be ready to defend it, right? And make money off of it and know if it works. But most people don't do that, right? We do an open house and we're like, oh, nobody came. I hate open houses. I'm like, well, yeah, you suck at them.
Well, bless your heart. Yeah, you suck at them.
Oh, bless your heart. Right? I mean, that's just the truth. Or like, oh, you know, I called, I did some cold calling and, you know, nobody answered. I'm like, well, yeah, you did it for like an hour. What did you think was going to happen? Do you think that complete strangers are going to say, oh my gosh, I am so happy you called today. As a matter of fact, I already looked up your fax number or your email and I have scanned you the contract. My house is now on the market with you.
Yeah. Like,
that's not how this works, right? So.
That's hilarious.
Get me fired up. I know it's almost egotistical the way that realtor agents think that people should just like, I don't know, grovel to work with us. Like our job is to get.
There's absolutely a sense of entitlement. I mean, there's so many people that feel like they're just absolutely owed everything. And I see this most just directly in agents that get upset that their friends and family use other realtors aside from themselves. Because yeah. there's such a very direct, I was entitled to that business because I knew that person, which is a BS mindset mentality to have, which as anybody that's ever experienced that knows is just proof that you either need to change your real estate lifestyle or you need to turn in your pocket card. Like there's just no reason to keep doing business if your cousin's going to go do business with somebody else because they don't trust you. Like it's, you earned that pain right there by not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Well, so there's some science around being top of mind, and I'm not a scientist. I can read though. And I read that roughly like the connection between you and real estate is weakened every roughly 17 days, right? Every 15 to 21 days. And so I use my sister as an example, right? I've been in real estate since I was 17. My dad's been a broker for 40 years. My mom was a realtor. Like my sister's the only person in our family that didn't sell real estate. And you would think that if she had a referral, she would, or if someone said something about real estate, she'd call one of us, right? You would think that. So I'm in a class and like, call your friends and family. I'm like, oh, here we go. I call my sister. Hey, Ran, I'm in this class, blah, blah, blah. She gives me 3 referrals. First time ever. And ever in the history of being her sister. And I think I was like 24 at that point. And then she
asked us a few years.
After she gives me these 3 referrals, well, and I'm so silly, I just assume she's giving them to dad, right? I mean, why wouldn't I? So after she gives me these referrals, she says, well, Julie, you know, I'll call you. And I'm thinking, yeah, but you didn't. And so it was at that point that I said, oh my gosh, I have got to get really intentional about staying top of mind with everybody that I'm in business, that's in my world. Cause if I don't, my baby sister, who you would think would think about it. She didn't. And if she's not thinking about it, I promise you, your cousin isn't.
Yeah.
Right? And so a systematic approach to the people that know, love, and trust you, like the numbers are the numbers. For every 12 people that you have in there, you should generate two pieces of business a year if you systematically keep in touch with people.
Yeah. I think business is simple. And sometimes it seems so simple that we won't do that thing just because it's like, oh, that would never work. Or they know, like we're thinking like, oh, my sister would obviously know to send me business. I don't need to call her. Apparently not. You got to not take any shred of it for granted. And you know, I love to work. I know it's kind of a funny thing to hear people say, but I absolutely love to work. I think it's one of the best parts about life. I've worked since I was, you know, 8 or 9 year old kid, doing something. And I've always needed, to feel like I was making progress, to feel like I was doing something. And so the communication aspect is something I've just absolutely fallen in love with because nobody else is willing to do it. You know, Monday I walked in the office and I sent out over 200 plus Instagram DMs to people that I told to message me from, you know, when I was on stage in Vegas, actually a couple weeks ago at Realty One Summit. And, you know, people just won't do that. They'll say like, well, is there any way that I could just automate this? Or is there any way that I could just get rid of doing this? It's like, look, if all you have to do is get up, go work out, read your Bible, eat breakfast, get your family ready, sit on your couch and message people on Instagram to get business. Do you really have it that hard? The science would say no. Like there's no way that you do. So tell me this, like how, really specifically, how do you coach people? How do you help people? If I was like, Julia Youngblood, I think you're a gangster. I want to come work under you. What are you going to teach me? Like, how would you help me grow my business?
Well, first off, I would say you're never going to work under me. We're going to run side by side.
Awesome.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, that's super sweet.
First off, we would figure out what's going on, like where are you at and what do you want to do? And I've got different programs built for different production levels. So we would start there and really it's where are you at now? Where do you want to go? And let's build the plan to get you there, obviously. Right. And then I always tell people, I'm pretty direct. So if you tell me you want to make $100,000 this year and we build the plan out and I can help you do that, by the way, and then you show up like a $30,000 a year producer, we're going to have a face-to-face. We're going to have a conversation because it really is simple, right? It's just as easy to make 30 grand as it is to make 100. And so I guess that's sort of a whimsical beat around the bush sort of answer. It really just depends on where you want to go. And we have other programs where we've got a great team building program for agents who are right at the cusp where they think that they want to start building a team. And so it's all very CRM focused and organizational focused. And how do you do accountability? And then got another one, it's called implementation, which is where we take existing teams and we actually, very similar to our accelerator program, we clean up their CRMs. We teach them how to really focus on an active sales pipeline. So not everybody in your world deserves the same amount of attention. Right. And so we teach them how to do that with the leads that are in their database as well. A lot of how to manage and run agents and accountability and ROI. I'm constantly shocked at how people don't understand how to really calculate a return on investment. I mean, real estate, this is an investment, right? So, and this business, I'm sorry, this is a business and this business should be profitable. And so while we can have a great time doing it, if we're not making a profit, what are we doing? And so just teaching people how to really think more like a business owner versus a transactional agent is probably one of my biggest focuses. And I think when you do that, the industry as a whole, it's elevated. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's what we do.
I love it. So if I'm sitting here, I'm like, all right, I want to learn a little bit more about this. Like, what's the best way for me to connect with you? What's the best way for me to reach out?
Are you asking for my contact information?
Well, no, you're married, so I'm not doing that. But
hey, you are too, though. So
yes, I'm just kidding.
So if someone wanted to get in touch with me, the best way is I'm going to give you my cell phone number. You can send me.
Oh, okay, that's why you asked.
Is that what you meant?
Hey, no, whatever. If you want to do your cell phone number, that's fine.
That's the best way to get in touch with me.
This is going to be promoted to like, I don't know, 50 or 60,000 real estate agents among our various platforms. So if you want to give your phone number to all those people, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I do. You know why? Because I'm in the lead generation business.
Because you're going to answer the phone when they call.
I'm gonna answer the phone or somebody will. Ready? It's 702-234-8181. And so we would just start with an analysis of where you're at and then figure out if anything that we do could help you. And if it could, we'd get into a relationship.
I love it. Well, guys, I personally think that you should call her, especially if she's saying that she's going to answer the phone. Let's see how it goes. What was your phone number one more time? It was what?
702-234. Somebody's calling me right now. 8181.
There we go. Okay. So make sure, and we'll link that below in the show notes. That way, if you guys want to call her, you can. Make sure you give her a call. I can guarantee you're at least going to have a good time for like 20 or 30 minutes if you're having a chat.
Oh, hands down. And if you're shy, if you don't like voice to voice, you can email me.
Yeah. Well, that works too, but I don't think that would be nearly as fun. I would encourage you to video chat her if you can, because I'm sure you're going to have a good time just chatting back and forth. I've had a blast sitting here talking to you for the last little bit. Thanks for sharing your opinions and your insights and your ideas. I really appreciate getting to connect with amazing people. So thank you. And thank you for sharing some value for our listeners. We really appreciate it. Those of you that are tuning in, thank you so much for listening to the Marketing Genius Podcast. Make sure that you call Julie right now and tell her how much you appreciated the show, and see if you can't drum into a conversation, because I'm sure you will get some value out of it. Julie, thank you so much for stopping by today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you guys on the next episode of the Marketing Genius Podcast. Thanks. Peace. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Marketing Genius Podcast. We hope you got a ton of value from the show today. Make sure that you rate us on iTunes and Google Play, and we will look forward to seeing you on the next episode.